everybody, and welcome to another episode of I Can Talk Kayfabe. I'm Joe.
I'm Sean.
And this week we have one going back to the 80s. It's the December 86 Wrestling's Main Event, the number one magazine for something cut off today because Roddy Piper's head is cutting off the word.
Oh, that's right. You were just saying how you love this magazine.
I do. It's laid out great, the inside of the magazine. The cover, not so much.
Well, the cover... Oh, wow. First of all, that is an error. However, I do like the aesthetic of this cover.
Yeah.
Because, so you have Piper on the front here, and he is, you know, just giving us a, you know, like, yeah, you know, he's doing his that. But the logo is Wrestling Main Event, and the colors are basically it's red, black, yellow, and white. And it all matches Roddy's shirt.
Yeah, that's very good that you pointed that out. Yeah, it does.
And that really works for me.
Yeah.
And I think it's awesome. So, and it is actually the magazine that you told me about the other day because you were saying that you were really excited to read this because – So you have on the top here. Well, first of all, you have the Roddy Piper says Roddy Piper cleans up his act. Then right underneath that, it's a picture of the machines, and the caption is "The Age of the Stupid Machine."
Yeah, that's what made me buy this entire lot of magazines that we bought. Was that quote right there? And I was like, "That's awesome!" And the guy wanted like a lot of money for it, and I gave him a $20 best offer for a lot of 8 issues, and he took it. He accepted it, and I was so happy because I would have gone up to like $30 just because I wanted this particular magazine, "The Age of the Stupid Machines."
I also want to point out this particular issue of Wrestling's Main Event from 1986 is in quite good condition.
Yeah, it is
very good condition for a magazine that is. Oh God, what is it?
32 years old.
32 years old.
Yeah.
Holy shit. But underneath that, we have Battle for America's Honor, Magnum TA versus Nikita Koloff, and they interview Magnum TA and a full-color poster of Nikita.
Yeah.
So you're getting all that you can handle here of that feud.
I'd rather have the color poster of Magnum TA if I was 6-year-old Joe reading this, but 38-year-old Joe will take the Nikita Koloff poster and love it.
And then underneath that, Terry Taylor, UWF's camera shy TV champion. At the very top, in the white, it says Ric Flair begins fourth world's title reign. He just beat Dusty Rhodes. And then Rock and Roll Express rewrite the record books, and also Steve Simpson and Terry Gordy.
Just their names.
Just their
names. They didn't do anything. Just Steve Simpson and Terry Gordy.
They did nothing.
Yeah.
So, and then we jump right into it. We actually have a nice ad here for Coliseum Video.
Yeah, Hulk Hogan with the 1985 belt on and white trunks.
Did you... I retweeted this, and maybe I'll have to share this. It's Brian Zane. He did an article or did one of his lists about his favorite belts.
Okay, I didn't see it.
He mentions a belt that Hogan wore. It was a very brief belt. Like, it wasn't this belt. It wasn't the... Because the championship belts went the one that got thrown in the trash.
Mm-hmm.
And then it jumped to this one.
I'm assuming so, yeah.
But apparently there was one...
There was the Globe one after this one, before the Winged Eagle one.
There's a Globe one after this?
Yeah.
Okay, that's the one he's talking about. Yeah. I didn't know about that
one. Yeah, there's a Globe one where it's just a globe. It doesn't have the Winged Eagle yet. And that was like the belt from like WrestleMania 2, I want to say.
Mm.
And then by WrestleMania 3, he had the Winged Eagle belt.
I got to say, this particular one, this one that he... This is the WrestleMania 3 belt. I think, right? Yeah.
No, that's the 1985 belt.
Is it?
Yeah.
What was the one that... The Winged Eagle wasn't the one at WrestleMania 3, though.
Yeah, it sure was, wasn't it?
No. I think it was this one.
No, maybe it must have been the Globe belt then.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But this 85 one, that's a bland-ass belt.
That's so bland, I love it. It's got WWF at the top, not the logo, but the actual letters, WWF.
Right.
World Heavyweight Wrestling Champ, and it's like silver. It's not even gold. It's awesome. I love it. It's the best belt ever.
So, just jumping right into this article here, we have a... actually, there's some. This is a great ad here of Dick Murdoch reading Wrestling's Main Event.
Yeah.
And, fantastic offer. I got mine. Be sure to get yours. And it's a shirtless Dick Murdoch. In a baseball cap reading this magazine.
He sure is, and he's enjoying it.
He's enjoying
it. That's what I think.
So, if that doesn't sell you, I don't know what's going to do it. So it's Matt fans that's being obscured. on the cover.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the number one magazine for Matt fans today.
So,
the publisher is Chen N. Low.
This is Pumpkin Press. Yeah, Wrestling Fan Effect, I feel like we've done one, but I feel like we did one from 93.
Yeah, maybe. I'm not familiar with the publishers of this magazine. I just loved it, though. Like, I just like the way it's laid out because you haven't looked at this yet, but.
No, but I remember, here's the thing. Yeah. I remember Wrestling Main Event from this time period because I used to have these.
So like the articles are like one page and then you don't have to continue. And then next to the articles is the photo and it's great. I like it. It's the way a magazine should be laid out.
Right. And so, but I do like, well, I don't like it because it's just taking up a lot of space here. But apparently these two editors are having a fight.
Good. Let them fight it out.
And
they both have sideburns. What's up with that? Nobody has sideburns in the 80s, but they do.
Yeah, apparently they're wrestling in a match here, and the one guy has got this gigantic swath of chest hair, and they got some, looks like fucking John Popper.
Yeah, and they're in a boxing ring.
And apparently people are writing in letters about this specific incident. The letter here, edit the a-hole.
Yeah.
And it's somebody from, Luann McDonald from Farm Creek, Arkansas. Oh, wait, Alaska.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Farm Creek, Alaska. She is up at arms about this mix-up here.
Arkansas would be A-R.
Yeah.
Alaska's A-K.
But yeah, so...
Shout out to Alaska and Farm Creek. I didn't know they had wrestling in Farm Creek, let alone magazines.
Hey, it's good to know. It's good to know that you can get yourself a wrestling's main event in Farm Creek, Alaska.
Yeah.
Or at least that's where this person lives. Maybe she lives close to Juneau, goes into Juneau, picks up the mag, and then she heads back into the Farm Creek and holds up in her cabin, which sounds kind of nice. But yeah, we've got our letters. I mean, I will say that they do have a weird way of setting up these letters here.
Yeah, it's right in the middle of advertisement for guns and knives. You want to buy an Uzi for $5? There's an Uzi for $5.
Well, they're pellet,
yeah,
pellet guns. But yeah. The way that these, there's, it's like you could barely tell that there's letters here.
Mm-hmm.
I do like though that this woman here is somebody writes a letter.
Yeah, it's Missy Hyatt.
Well, no, Missy. Yeah, it's Missy Hyatt talking about how she sucks. She was the John Tatum's valet at the time. And she's like, she can't fight her own battles, blah, blah, blah. Dark Journey's gonna beat her up. And it's just a letter. The letter is just signed by a fan of Dark Journey from Honolulu, Hawaii. But the Hawaii thing is H-A instead of H-I. And then we get, yeah, apparently they're just, it's really aggravating because there's a lot of like, if you aren't following the storyline in this editorial stuff, you're kind of lost because they have this little thing here about him being in critical condition, even though he's not. So, yeah, we got some editor stuff. Jesus Christ. We're going to have actually things about any wrestlers?
This is what I wanted to read. I read this magazine, this article earlier.
Oh, what is that? Read that caption because I just see the word AIDS.
Yeah, exactly. Digger's Diary. The modern mat world has seen through the eyes of an outlaw ex-champion. And then there's a photo of Gorgeous George. And it said, long before Adrian Adonis or AIDS, Gorgeous George played on wrestling opponents' homophobia and is one of the true legends of professional wrestling. Now, I want to read this first paragraph, and this would never go over today. This is 1986.
Okay.
1986, Digger Malloy.
Mm-hmm.
Adrian Adonis is one of the most brilliant wrestlers these thought-tired eyes have ever witnessed, and up until recently, he was the most underrated wrestler in 7 continents. Now he's a famous fag. Big deal. I just thought that was hilarious.
Oh my God.
And I had to point it out. And he just goes on in the article and he talks about he's comparing Adrian Adonis to Gorgeous George and how Gorgeous George, in the end of the day, he was straight. And when he gets sprayed with the perfume, it was actually Manly Cologne. And Adrian Adonis, what he's doing isn't anything special. It's just no big deal. It's basically what he's doing.
I want to read the rest of this article, but I'm also terrified about reading it because it looks like there's a lot of vitriol in here.
Yeah.
Also, I do like that Adrian Adonis was the most underrated wrestler in 7 continents, mm-hmm. including Antarctica.
He closes the article by saying this. And remember that AIDS may be new, but there's nothing new about Adrian's shocking new image. That's how he ends this article.
Oh, man.
Unless I see the word. We're getting in all sorts of trouble on this episode of Hockey Talk.
Let's just get into some old-fashioned wrestling news here. Dusty and Baby Doll are now friends. Let's see. Holly Race crowned King of Wrestling.
So let's go back to that Dusty and Baby Doll for a second.
Yeah.
So they're talking about Dusty's new dream date, and like they're
about Dusty's new dream date,
and it's Baby Doll, but there's no photo of Baby Doll. So it's like, come on. I would think that would call for a photo of Baby Doll.
They got the photos they could use.
Yeah, I guess so.
If they didn't have a photo of Baby Doll, then you weren't getting the photo.
They probably didn't have a photo of her like without like one of the heel guys that she would manage, like the Warlord.
After finding himself After finding himself suddenly abandoned by the troublesome Baby Doll, American Dream Dusty Rhodes has a new lady stand by his side. So apparently, yeah, Dusty.
Oh, Misty Blue Sims.
Yeah, Baby Doll joined Flair. And Tully Blanchard. Yeah, that's right. He got Misty Blue Sims to step in.
Oh.
Which I don't know if that ever... I watched some of those matches from that time, from that time. I never saw if they actually squared off. She did show up a few times, but she fucked around with Jim Cornette for some reason. And that was about it. So, yeah.
So they had a coronation for Harley Race.
Yeah, see, they're using the pictures they had because this is the old-ass picture of Harley Race.
Yeah, he's got a full beard, and it's from, like, 70s. Yeah.
Yeah. Sheep Herders invade the Florida tag team scene.
And
yeah.
They've got Bill Alfonso holding up their arms in victory.
That's right. There's Fonzie. Young Fonzie.
Yeah.
Also, major NWA titles change hands. The national title is still in existence at this time.
Yeah, and I guess Wahoo McDaniel united it with the U.S. title.
Well, eventually they got rid of it because he wrestled. Yeah, he wrestled Magnum a bunch, and eventually, they just put that title away because Mid-Atlantic title was still around at this time. Yeah, there's a lot of titles that were just still randomly around. The national tag team belts; those were on its way out. Yeah, we're still talking about some news here. It was one of the dumb machines.
Yeah, so this is the article about the machines, and it's kind of a letdown because I was expecting more.
So this isn't the article.
Well, I don't think it is because they just talk about how Hulk Hogan has been mysteriously absent recently, and Hulk Machine has showed up, and another newcomer, Piper Machine, has also showed up. And then it's like, enough is enough. And that's basically all they say about the machines.
Yeah.
Then through the rest of the magazine.
Just a lot of new wrestling news here. We have a picture here of a Luger from 86 Florida with one of those tiny belts. I always like those tiny belts.
Yeah,
I don't
they're
know
fun. Why. Yeah.
I always like those small belts.
They're better than the class ring looking belts that the WWE uses now. That's for sure.
Yeah. Then we have a picture here. What is this a picture of? What am I looking at here? Nasty Savage. Okay, so that's what I figured. Savage is a picture. Is a picture of rock and roller Nasty Savage with this is from Florida '86. So we're getting Kevin Sullivan Devil stuff. You got Luna Vachon and whoever the Lock was. I forgot who that was, but she had that's an awesome look. Like she has like all the veins like on her side of her shaved head. It's like drawn in. I think they're drawn in there. I'd be terrified if they're real.
Who's this?
That's a Nasty Savage.
Who's Nasty Savage? Like, was he somebody else after that?
No, he wasn't a wrestler. He was just like a musician.
Oh.
It was like Randy Savage.
But nasty.
But he played the guitar.
Oh.
Yeah, see, as featured in October's wrestling main event, Florida Heavy Metal Sensations, Nasty Savage has entered a recording studio with lady wrestlers Luna Vachon and The Lock to create a metal mayhem masterpiece. The whole Motley Crue called WME recently to correct some misconceptions that they practice any form of devil worship and that they want the fans to know that they're really just your average, everyday kind of sickos.
No devil worshiping.
No devils. And here's our wrestler of the month, Roddy Piper. Has the rowdy one settled down? Roddy Piper cleans up his act. Here's a picture of him from TV. Somebody took a picture of their TV. used it.
They did a very good job. It's hard to take photos of your TV back then.
Maybe it's a publicity shop, but yeah, just paper. Piper turned face. This is around the time when he came back and beat up the flower shop. I think it's hard to tell with this magazine because I don't feel like their press dates are much farther out. Yeah, so Piper, he is your champion, or he is your main dude. Back in the dead a bit. I like Face Piper. I've always been a fan of Face.
Yeah,
Piper.
Yeah.
When he's a pandering face, but when he's just like kick ass face. So like Piper in 86, 87, also Piper 91, 92.
Yeah.
I feel like
Piper's feud with Goldust was good too in the mid 90s. So
it was okay. Yeah. The stuff he did with Lawler in 94 was kind of bullshit.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, pretty much most of that stuff. And then, pretty much everything he did at WCW was...
it was dumb.
...was garbage, at least in my opinion. But yeah, here we got... We do have some good shots here of Piper and Orndorff fighting. And this is an interesting photo here of Piper. It looks like he's about to give, the blockbuster suplex to Orndorff over the ropes.
Yeah.
I think maybe Orndorff is doing a crossbody and they're about to tumble over the ropes. But it looks like he's actually has him like in the Scott Hall blockbuster. He's about to throw.
It's that old man ref too.
Yeah, the old man, Dick Kroll.
Yeah,
I think that's Dick Kroll. I only hope that Roddy uses his transformation as an opportunity to wrestle scientifically. He killed Rick McGraw with scientific DDTs and suplexes.
Oh, scientific DDTs.
And the rumor has it that like a boxer who kills his foe in the ring, he was consumed with guilt. That's why they don't let me wrestle on TV. Remember him screaming awfully with no knowledge of the last damage he'd done? What would be considered a scientific DDT?
Maybe you, counter into a front face lock and then dropping him into a DDT somehow.
I thought that would be, doing a DDT into, a Bunsen burner.
Oh, that's the literal translation of it, yeah. So
I would be doing it to a spaceship, doing a DDT on a spaceship.
Yeah.
Camera shy. Terry Taylor, I do my job in the ring.
But he's not camera shy in this magazine. Look at that beautiful photo of Terry Taylor. That is
actually a really nice photo.
That's probably top one of the top photos I've ever seen doing these this podcast right there.
Really?
Promo photos, I should say.
Promo photos.
Specify that. Promo photos. That is a good-looking photo.
What would you say would be the top photo?
I don't know, but this one is definitely up there. That's a great... I think the Al Perez centerfold is probably my all-time favorite photo.
What about the one with... maybe I can't remember if it's a color photo or not. Larry Zbyszko in the gi?
That's a good one. That was not a color photo.
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
But this is great. The title looks great.
Yeah. You know what I like this photo? Because you get a good shot of the belt.
Yeah.
And it's the Universal UWF TV title, which is a very modest title.
Mm-hmm.
Looks pretty beat up.
Yeah.
I guess it looks like it had some wear and tear, but it's
been around.
But it couldn't have been around for that long. Because his UWF wasn't really a thing. It was only a thing for maybe a year or two.
I'm sure it was, the wrestlers probably didn't take care of it.
I would take care of my belts.
That's a good looking belt, a good looking guy. Everything's great about this.
That's the best photo of Terry Taylor ever seen, goddamn.
Yeah, probably.
But Terry Taylor,
No, it's not as good as his Don't Use Drugs Red Rooster photo.
Oh, yeah,
that one's probably better.
They should have used this photo and say, don't do drugs.
Yeah.
But Terry Taylor talking about basically how he does his stuff in the ring. Let's see here. I don't really like being on TV, Taylor told me frankly. It was a day off for the UWF TV champion, and he was taking a few hours off from his training regiment to bowl a few games with a flabby reporter.
Oh.
Terry kicked my butt in the lanes and bought me a rye and a Denver sandwich in the alley lounge afterward. Terry had a club soda and a house salad. When the waitress asked him for his order, the non-drinker unwinkingly said he was underage.
What do you think a Denver sandwich consists of?
Ooh, if you get a Denver omelet, it has ham, I think onions, and green peppers.
Yeah, that's usually the Denver omelet.
So can that be considered to be a Denver sandwich?
I think a Denver sandwich consists of peanut butter and bananas.
Really?
Because Elvis used to fly to Denver specifically for peanut butter and banana sandwiches. Because he said they made them the best in Denver.
Really? Have you ever tried a peanut butter and banana sandwich?
Yeah, they're okay. Well, I get creative once in a while, and I'll throw a banana in my peanut butter sandwiches, and they're okay.
I could do a peanut butter banana shake. I don't know. I'm intrigued. Did he toast the bread?
I usually toast it.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never really. You know, that's another thing I've never done. I'm not living life correctly. I'm not eating toasted peanut butter sandwiches.
I had a grilled cheese earlier, and I used my toaster for that. I'm definitely a big toasted bread fan. Shout out to toast.
Shout out to toast. Well, it's appropriate we're talking about the white toast baby faced Terry Taylor.
Yeah.
So. A lot of cool photos here. I love wrestling photos, and these are no different.
Yeah, this one is great with, he's got him. It's, Michael P.S. Hayes has Terry Taylor, like a side headlock, almost like a sleeper hold from behind. And then you see Buddy Roberts in the background.
Well, this is great because it's the way the light is, and like, cause it looks like Buddy Roberts is like a ghost or something.
Yeah,
I'm gonna take a picture of this one because
because you only see like his head like floating in the background.
Well, there's something to I don't know what it is about these particular magazines, like these main events. I always feel that their black and white photos pop much better. Like I think they use it. It's obvious it's a much higher, much lighter contrast, but I like it. I'm a fan. So big article here about our buddy here, Terry Taylor. Match of the month, Battle for America's Honor, Magnum TA versus Nikita Koloff.
Speaking of great photos, is a great photo. Magnum TA's got him. He's got the Russian chain wrapped around Koloff's face. Koloff's bleeding. TA's bleeding. The referee's, like, he's sneezing. It's awesome.
this is a manly photo.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to take a picture of this one. These are some, man. We gotta find more of these from this era.
Yeah, wrestling's main event from the 80s.
I gotta find more of these because I remember a few of these. I had a few of these back then, and it's good stuff. I'm just now I'm like, I'm pumped.
Yeah.
Yeah, but basically, we're talking about this is, I think, when they're in the middle of their finishing up their best of seven series. So this is over the summer of 86. They had these matches. And this is the tragic accident for Magnum, but we're Magnum crazy here. And great, look at this shot here of him giving a belly to belly, man. Love that stuff. And basically, it's a kayfabe article. You know, Magnum TA was supposed to meet with this reporter that wrote this and sends him a letter instead. Apparently, they were going to meet. Magnum TA sends a letter instead. Apparently, they were going to meet and do the interview in the Arlington National Cemetery.
It's a weird spot to meet, but okay.
But because he's like, I am not a martyr, but I am a patriot, and I will not rest until the U.S. title is out of the Russians' hands. Only over my dead body will the Koloffs tarnish what I consider to be my belt. Surely I could not be with you to share this in person. I understand these men are very dangerous. So I think he was worried about a Russian Cold War sting in the National Cemetery.
Well, then meet at Starbucks or something. Don't meet at the Arlington. Jeez.
Arlington somewhere. Starbucks.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff here about the
Starbucks a thing in the 80s,
maybe only in Seattle.
Maybe only there.
And before we take our break here, let's talk about this great
centerfold of Nikita.
Hell yeah.
In his black singlet with the CCCP logo in the middle, and he's just got his arms out, and it's awesome.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Great pose, great photo, man.
A lot of leg hair.
Shout out to Wrestling's Main Event being just on point with these photos this month.
It's just a great, great issue so far.
We love it. All right, let's take our break, come back, and we'll talk about the rest of this book.
Hey, I'm Jen.
And I'm Sean. We're here to tell you about our podcast, Worst Collection Ever.
And this is the show where we tell you about the worst comic book collection in existence, and it just happens to belong to us.
We have some of the worst comics from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. They're bad. They're not worth anything.
No good.
Why do we own them? I own a number of issues of Terror Inc. and Guy Gardner.
Basically, we go around to local comic book stores and we buy everything we can out of dollar boxes.
We tell you about the weird stuff in them. We tell you about stuff that's related to them. We go into tangents and we're very uninformed. So,
oh my God, totally. But totally check out our podcast because you'll hear us just talk and joke about Marvel books and DC books from God only knows when.
That's right. It's our show, Worst Collection Ever, every Tuesday on iTunes, Stitcher, anywhere you get your podcasts.
download, rate, subscribe, tell a friend.
It'll be good and terrible, but good.
Okay, we are back.
Yeah.
And out of the ring, Magnum TA is a family man.
There he is, yeah.
Exclusive wrestling main event interview.
Yeah, there he is right there with his family.
He's with his family.
His mom and his dad.
Yeah, and they have a photo. Or they have a, they're holding an issue with him on the cover. In the photo.
These are some handsome photos of Magnum TA.
And he's got a shirt that says America's Team.
Right, that was him and Dusty.
Yeah.
I want that shirt. I want all the old wrestling shirts. Why is there, is it copyrights or something that you can't make these shirts anymore?
I don't know.
Because I want exactly all these shirts. Those are the shirts I need to be wearing right now in my late 30s.
I do need new shirts because I'm getting rid of a lot of my old ones because they're too big for me now, so...
Yeah.
Shout
out to wrestling shirts. They actually interview his parents.
Good.
I don't really care.
I wonder if they're still alive. I'm going to go with no.
I don't know. We'll see. I haven't had a chance.
I don't think we will see. I don't think it's...
What am I talking about? Guys, we'll follow up with next issue.
What's interesting about this, so Flair, it's got a photo of Ric Flair. Space Mountain bigger than ever. Ric Flair's climbing back on top. Ric Flair's in the ring, and he's got butterflies on his trunks.
Yeah.
What is that about?
I don't remember that.
I don't remember Ric Flair having butterflies on his trunks, but he has them here.
His brief butterfly phase. Apparently, he won. He wore that in his match here against Dusty.
Alternate butterfly-trunked Ric Flair.
Actually, you know what? I think that was probably a part of his pink outfit.
Okay.
I bet this is pink with the red trim. Red lettering.
It looks like he was like Charlotte, even though she wasn't born at the time, was like a toddler and designed her dad's trunks for her. And then he's like, okay, I'll wear these to the ring. And that's what he wore. Butterflies in pink.
Yeah, but you know what? Flair could pull it off.
Okay.
I don't know. I'll give him that. I mean, Flair has a multitude of outfits, and I think they're all great. I don't think I've ever seen a bad Ric Flair outfit. Is this the only one?
I mean, butterflies is kind of bad.
He is the nature boy. Butterflies are in nature. That's true. He's trying to make a point.
You make a valid point.
Yes. So basically, yeah, we're just talking about, you know, an extended article about him winning the title and just how great everything is. And
by Robert E. Riddick Jr.
Robert E. Riddick Jr.
Now, the Buffalo Bills had a running back at one time named Rob Riddick.
Oh, this is him.
Yeah.
This
would have been before he played for the Bills.
That's right. Yeah, I do remember Rob Riddick. He was number 44.
Yeah. Speaking of great wrestling shirts, that is a great one. I do it with Flair.
Nice color photo of Flair just standing in front of a curtain that says, I do it with Flair. And I think that was an official shirt that you probably could have bought.
Yeah.
But it's a blue shirt, yellow letters. Fucking awesome. I want that shirt. I need all these shirts, goddammit.
He's in front of a curtain. Looks like, oh, okay, never mind. But yeah, it looks like it was on the Tonight Show.
Yeah, he was making an appearance on Tonight Show in his trunks.
So I must have skipped over this next article when I was reading through this magazine, but here it is. The Age of the Stupid Machines. When will the charade end?
Halloween came early this year in the WWF as some of their biggest stars don masks to become cogs in Vince McMahon's well-oiled machines. And wrestling fans are wondering if this is a trick or a treat.
It was both.
I guess, yeah.
I liked it. It was a trick and a treat.
It was a treat. Well, it was a treat. You had the machines proper were nothing to sneeze at.
Yeah.
Because you had Bill Eady and Blackjack Mulligan.
Mm-hmm.
And those are both, I don't know. I like Blackjack. I always enjoyed his Florida stuff. I think he was pretty good. And Bill Eady gets a pass from me just for being a Demolition and the Masked Superstar. So, yeah. And then you have Giant Machine here. Well, they did put out action figures of them. I think there's like Hasbro ones. But I feel like they could have had more recognition. I don't know. I just felt like they should be more ubiquitous in WWF lore.
Yeah, they're really not. They're kind of an afterthought.
Yeah, this kind of sucks because they look cool.
Yeah.
Surprised that it was a gimmick that wasn't trotted out more often.
You know what they should have done with Dolph Ziggler? They should have made the Ziggler Machine. When he left, he should have came back as the Ziggler Machine.
I'd be down with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you could, if you want to get hokey and stuff, just have him go and be like, I went to Japan and now I am the Ziggler Machine.
Yeah. And then who would his tag partner be to be the Machines?
Oh, you can get some Kurt Hawkins.
Hawkins Machine.
Hawkins Machine.
I like it.
Kurt Machine.
Yeah.
I like Kurt Machine. So basically, Handsome Mick Wilde does the article here. I do like these people that write for this magazine here. I don't remember reporters having such personality in Wrestling's Main Event, but apparently they're very much so. We're talking about the Machines here, and they're wrestling Stud and Bundy, and you know they do actually hypothesize here. Well, they're trying to figure. Well, first of all, they're trying to figure out. It's like, oh, okay, so clearly this is Andre the Giant, but maybe it's Giant Baba.
Yeah, that
maybe it's Gorilla Monsoon.
Big thing was it could be Giant Baba.
But if you've ever seen a picture of Baba, like real life Baba, he had like half of Andre's chest.
Yeah,
like vertically, it's weird.
And it wasn't Gorilla Monsoon because he announced a lot of Machine matches, so I don't know why they would come up with that conclusion.
You mean there was no Gorilla Machine?
Yeah.
But they do say here, in addition to the Big Machine, there's now Hulk Machine, and they say, could that have been Giant Baba?
No.
Maybe. Yeah, but the dumb machines. I disagree. They are not dumb. I think the machines are awesome.
I agree. I think they're great. I think they should have just kept it going forever.
Kept it going forever and kept doing it up. So here we go. Fan's eye view of Steve Simpson, Texas's sexy strongman.
Kind of looks like the Colorado Kid.
Yes. Yes.
Maybe they're the same guy.
Could be the same guy. Maybe he's like the evolution of the Von Erichs. Von Erich, because he's from Texas. He was a friend of the Von Erichs. And somehow he eventually morphed into the Colorado Kid.
Also kind of looks like Steven Adler with wet hair.
Here he is fighting Buzz Sawyer, another unappreciated wrestler.
Sawyer Machine would have been, or the Buzz Machine.
Oh man, Sawyer Machine would be great. But you would know it is automatically Sawyer Machine because you come out with furry boots and a chain and a headband over the mask.
I kind of inspired to go home and play WWE 2K18 and just make the entire roster's machines.
Yeah, just make a bunch of alternate outfits as machines.
Yeah.
I'm into that. Undertaker Machine. That'd be kind of cool. You could have purple things on his face instead of the gold and silver.
The Ravishing Machine.
But yeah, we're talking here about Steve Simpson.
Steve Simpson.
He is the man. He's
wrestling Matt Bourne.
He is the Texas champion. I think he won the Texas championship.
Oh, there he is with Lance Von Erich.
Lance Von Erich. Lance Von Erich's pretty awesome, too.
Yeah.
I've watched a few Lance Von Erich matches as part of some of my rewatching of World Class from 87, 86, mm-hmm. And he was pretty good. People always say he sucked really bad. I thought he was all right. Yeah, he was doing Hurricane Ranas. He was looking good. He is South Africa's pride and joy.
Oh, he's South African?
Yeah, you didn't know that?
Oh, no. I thought he was from Texas.
And he had a brother. Well, he's from, he basically, like, resided in Texas. It was Steve Simpson, and then he had a brother called Sean Simpson,
okay,
who looked just like him, but like skinnier. That's how the Simpsons go. The Simpsons were a big deal in Texas for a little while. Ballad of the Unknown Champion, Terry Gordy. Will the high-flying Freebird leave the nest?
And he's the UWF champion.
Nice photo here of Terry Gordy with the UWF belt.
Sweet belt.
I like that belt a lot. I have to say... Because it has two good things going for it. First of all, it's wide and big as hell. And second of all, the UWF is huge.
Yeah.
And I like that. I think but it's the three letters. It's not like the WWE Scratch logo or like the WWF logo. Like, it's like, bam.
Yeah.
And then it just, the letters and everything work. And I really like it. Yeah. That's what we're talking about, Terry Gordy being underappreciated, which for a lot of younger fans, you know, that out there, they don't really, haven't probably really been exposed to Terry Gordy, but he's awesome.
Yeah, he's really good.
And I have to say, he did get the shaft over the past couple of years with the WWE game.
Yeah, he's very conspicuous by his absence. They have all the other Freebirds, but they don't have him.
Yeah, I don't understand that. Like, you have Buddy, you have Michael, and you have Jimmy. You know, I mean, I don't know why you couldn't put in Terry.
Yeah,
somewhere like you could have thrown an extra Terry in there. I mean, Terry would have been all. I mean, Terry's, you know, he would have fit right in.
And now that you can have four entrances, you know, make another one and put Terry in there.
Yeah.
Although he never, the whole thing's screwed up. And anyway.
Well, you know, this year, you know, what's going to happen is because you texted me about this. He's like, as soon as Hillbilly Jim went in,
yeah,
he's going into the Hall of Fame. So we're going to get probably Hillbilly Jim in the game again this year. He was in Here Comes the Pain, if you remember that.
I mean, I'm sure he was. I don't care.
Somebody asked me, says, do you think he deserves to go in?
As a wrestler, as an in-ring performer, no. But because he ran Coliseum Home Video and did a lot of backstage stuff, yeah, they're
that's my argument.
Yeah,
too.
It has nothing to do with Hillbilly Jim the wrestler. It has everything to do with Hillbilly Jim the employee. That's why he's going into the Hall of Fame. As a wrestling fan, just watching wrestling, no, he doesn't deserve it. But I get the behind the scenes reason why they're doing it.
Yeah,
and it's one less guy they have to pay for an appearance because you know he's already going to be there anyway. So
yeah, I mean he still had a lot of he did a lot with the Coliseum Video, and I felt like he had still had a pretty good presence backstage, just being like an ambassador for the WWF brand.
Yeah,
even though his wrestling years were not that impressive, but yeah, no, he's gonna be around, and you know we'll probably get him in the game, and maybe we'll get what do you think, what kind of match you think we can get from there?
He didn't really ever have a big giant feud, so I don't know.
Well, I mean, there was him and Bundy. Maybe we'll get a
That's it. Maybe we'll get Bundy finally.
We had Bundy like a couple years ago,
did we?
Yeah, it was a part of the one with the years of WrestleMania. That's when we also got Stud. Remember that?
No.
Yeah,
I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, we had Stud Bundy in the 1 year, as well as I think that was the same year Yokozuna was in there. Billy Joe Travis.
Yes, Billy Joe Travis taste his first title, and it would have been the first of many because Billy Joe Travis was awesome. I love Billy Joe Travis. Shout out to R.I.P. Billy Joe.
R.I.P. Billy Joe Travis.
Yeah,
he is the USWA heavyweight, no, sorry, the USA heavyweight champion.
Yeah, he is my, like, one of my favorite watching, when I watch Memphis wrestling and stuff, like in the 90s, 80s and 90s, Billy Joe Travis is just awesome. And he's been in a lot of those World Wrestling Council videos that have been popping up on YouTube.
Oh, is he?
I've been watching, yeah. Mm. Just, I love Billy Joe Travis. I love the heel version better, but the face version's okay too. But
He is tearing it up in Texas. At this time, he was very young into the business here. Yeah, 86. I feel like he started maybe a little bit sooner than this, but
yeah.
Nonetheless, he is here, and he also was a connoisseur of the one-legged pant outfit.
Oh, okay, yeah.
He used to bust that out every so often. So look at this. This is a great shot here.
Yeah.
Jump off the top rope. Looks like he's jumping off in like stark blackness.
Yeah, it looks like he's just hung like a horse in those trunks.
Yeah, no, that's going to hit the mat before anything else.
He's got like a cucumber in his trunks, that's what it looks like.
So, yeah, shout out to Billy Joe Travis. Rock and Roll's here to stay, Joe. Rock and Roll Express, tag team hitmakers, rewrite the record books. They've won their fourth title by this point.
What is up with this photo?
So, basically, it looks like they just edited out the rest of the... They cut out whatever is here, and they printed on top of a white sheet of paper.
Yeah.
I don't know why that looks like that. It looks like they're in heaven. Because it's all white.
I don't understand it, but I like it.
Yeah, I like it too. Now, finally, we get our ratings.
Yes.
This is 1986 main event, wrestling's main event ratings.
Wrestling's top 20.
Right. And then what I do like is that they, well, actually, the Purtis on the Illustrated does this too. But what's interesting here is that they refer to some of these titles as WCW titles, even though WCW was just the TV show.
Yeah.
So, for instance, Ric Flair is the NWA champion. But Dusty Rhodes is the WCW TV champion.
Yeah. I guess it's a lot easier than they couldn't write Jim Crockett Promotions.
Right. Yeah. Well, also they refer to Ronnie Garvin as the WCW Mid-Atlantic champion.
Mm-hmm.
So they kind of just... Yeah, and even here, Tully Blanchard, WCW NWA contender. It could be confusing, but if you know wrestling, you understand it.
Yeah.
So...
Exotic Adrian Street, the Southeastern champion.
That's right. He's in Alabama. Doing it up. Tag teams. You know, you got your usual suspects here.
Oh, I like how in number three, the Road Warriors. And then, because it has number one, Bulldogs, WWF champs. Number two, Rock and Roll Express, NWA champs. Number three, Road Warriors, winners of the Crockett Memorial Cup. So that's really cool that they put that as a title. So
yeah. I like the Crockett 86 Cup. That's actually a favorite of mine. And then we have our official ratings for each federation. So you got WWF, WCW, which technically is NWA, but it's weird to see WCW in like 1986. It's weird.
It is weird. It doesn't make any sense.
It's weird. AWA, you even rate the managers.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
That.
Oh, actually, they even tell you when the period here is ending. September 86.
Okay.
So how about that? Managers, I'll give you the top 10 managers here. We got Bobby Heenan, Jimmy Hart, Gary Hart, Jim Cornette, Skander Akbar, Lou Albano, Paul Jones, Paul Ellering, J.J. Dillon, Sir Oliver Humperdinck. Quite the quality list of managers right there.
Yeah, that is. I would say that is the top 10.
And then we even have some Florida ratings, some World Class, some UWF. And here's your USA All-Star ratings.
Yeah, with Billy Joe Travis is number one.
We got Billy Joe Travis, Jonathan Boyd, Scott Casey, Al Madrill, Mike Golden, Masked Grappler, Iceman Parsons, Big Bubba, Bigfoot, and Tanui.
Yeah.
Don't know who Tanui is. He's probably a Samoan guy. But that's your ratings. And then the last page is literally called the last page.
It shows a fan holding up a sign, and it says, "The only magnificent thing about Morocco is his belly."
Well, yeah. Yeah, there's that. And then they have...
And then somebody's taunting Brutus Beefcake in it with a sign that says, "Doofus Fruitcake."
And next to it, it says a Valentine. It says, Valentine is soft. These are good signs.
So did you watch Fastlane, right?
Yes.
So did you see the sign when Randy Orton was walking to the ring? A fan held up this sign.
It said Breath of the Wild sucks?
No.
No.
It said, "Is Randy Orton a bad enough dude to beat Bobby Roode?" And that was awesome.
Wow.
And those shout out to those signs, because those reminded me of that sign. And I was like, yes, I love it. It's great. Everything's awesome.
Those are the wrestling signs you don't see anymore these days.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that somebody is taking the charge to step up and not just being witty.
Yeah.
Not saying that bad enough dude to beat Bobby Roode isn't witty, but I do appreciate it.
And the back cover of Wrestling Main Event has the Andersons versus Ricky Morton.
I do like how Ricky Morton, actually the way that you're holding it, it's upside down, and Ricky Morton looks like he's like yelling up.
Oh.
He's like, ah, because he's getting beat up by Ole. So I like it. So that's it for this issue, man. That's it for Wrestling's Main Event, December 1986.
Yeah, and I don't know if you could tell by listening to this podcast, because it'll have come out a week after, but we recorded three podcasts in a row, because we did the two-parter and then this one, back to back to back.
Yeah, man.
My throat is shot.
Yeah, I'm pretty shot, too.
And I've been holding in a pee for about 20 minutes. You can find me on Instagram, at Twitter, at SweatpantsJoe.
I'm at Angry Hero Sean.
And you can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/ I Could Talk Kayfabe. Rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts or whatever you're listening to us on. That would really help out the podcast a lot. And yeah, anything else you want to add?
No, man. Wrestling's Main Event. We got to find more of these, man.
Yeah.
These are some from the 80s, man. These are pretty good. These early 80s, mid 80s ones. These are dope.
Yeah.
Shout out to this magazine, and shout out to all the fans, you guys listening. Please check us out on Facebook, and check us out wherever you can, and give us a rating if you can. That'd be great.
And I'm trying to look through to figure out a wrestler's quote that I should say. Yeah, the Machines didn't have one.
yeah.
Terry Taylor didn't.
Okay, yeah. Terry Taylor had one as the Red Rooster.
I'm not going to fuck over the rooster.